Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
Many of us are stuck in a rut of bad habits. Let's think of today as the starting line for a new race and learn how to turn our backs on behavior that slows us down. Freedom is possible, even for those trapped in deep darkness. To find out more, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we begin a life-changing series on how to say no to a stubborn habit. Here now is Pastor Lutzer.
Let me begin by asking you a question. How do you go about changing human behavior? Here's an alcoholic. Makes many promises that he's going to change. Some of you wives may live with a man like that. Says that this is going to be the last time I'm ever going to get drunk, but you know and God knows that those promises aren't going to change him. Here's a man who has the vice of gambling, which is a form of stealing. Heard about the man who went to Las Vegas in a $16,000 Cadillac and came back in a $200,000 Greyhound bus. And he gets this into his blood and he sees that he's wasting his paycheck, but it's just there and he can't stop. Or you think of a man in some form of immorality. He really means well when he says, I want to change. But no matter how well he means, he never does. You think of criminals who go through certain behavioral patterns and they do everything within their power to say, next time I'm going to live differently. But next time, they slip back in their old ways. How do you change a man like that? Now, you know that behaviorism, which is the common accepted philosophy taught in our universities today, says that a man does what he does because of his environment, first of all. Skinner and others have done some work with rats and with chickens, and they found that when you reward them and when you punish them for certain kinds of behavior, they can be made to fit into a certain pattern. Therefore, all of life, all of behavior is conditioned, determined, if you will, by preceding causes of environment. So the feeling is that there is no such thing as a criminal, there is only a criminal environment. Now, there's some truth to behaviorism. We spank our children, we reward them, and we punish them in order to guide them along certain ways. But all of that can never make a life-changing transformation. And then, of course, there are those who say, no, it's in your heredity, it's in your genes. That's why you behave the way you do. Now, let's remember, in order to understand what's happening, man is a tripart being, a body, a soul, that is to say, a mind, emotion, and will. And then he also has a spirit. And the spirit is the deepest level of human existence. It's in the realm of the spirit. The spirit can inform and control the conscience. It's also the spirit that can be in contact with God. And the spirit of man, an unsaved man, that spirit is cut off from God. So man is dead toward God, but it is quickened and it is made alive when regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Now, the great difference between the way that human beings change behavior and the way God changes behavior is simply this. Man begins from the outside and he hopes that what happens on the outside will work itself in. You take drugs to change your hormones. A chemical change of the body hopefully will cause a change in the soul. and perhaps also at the level of spirit. God may use these outer influences, but God's way is totally different. God's way is to begin in the inner man. He begins at the very rock bottom of our personalities. He begins with the spirit down deep inside, and then, having changed that behavior, begins to work itself out from the inside. Now you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, the passage of scripture that was just read to us. Let's notice how God changes us. First of all, he gives us a new self, a new self. The text says in verse 24 of Ephesians 4, "Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." The new self, created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That means that when a person accepts Christ as a Savior, God does a miracle within, and he actually changes the person at the level of the spirit by doing a miracle, creating a new nature, and making the dead human spirit alive before God. Do you realize that when you accept Christ as your Savior, there is a miracle that happens within you that can be done only by God, and there's no contribution that you can make toward that miracle? When God creates, he does not use human power. It is totally divine power. Your responsibility is only to believe, and the miracle of the new birth is done by God and by God alone, without any contribution of human effort, because the miracle is so special. Now, many of us, when we accepted Christ as Savior, if we did it as children, we can't perhaps remember that miracle very well, or maybe the transformation wasn't that dramatic. We may not have even felt different. When I was a little boy, I used to pray every night that Jesus would come into my heart, and was convinced he never did. And at about the age 14, I was so miserable, and my parents asked if they could pray with me because they could see my misery. And it was at that time they explained that I had to receive Christ by faith even if I couldn't see any change in my feelings. And I remember the next day I had so much peace, and I had a sense of belonging to God that I never experienced before. And I thought to myself, this is conversion. And I believe that it was. Some of you have had that experience. You've heard testimonies where people have said, you know, I just had this weight of sin and this misery, and suddenly I saw that Jesus was the Savior of the world, and I put my faith in him and cast myself upon his mercy, and instantly I knew I had met God. Just like Dory Vanstone in that orphanage, sitting there, never having heard of God except through swearing, knowing nothing about what Jesus had done for her, and some students come and tell the gospel to the children at the orphanage, and she sits there and says, God, nobody has ever loved me, but if you love me, you've got all of me. And that night when she went to bed, she said she cried, because it was the first time in the 13 years that she had ever experienced a sense of peace, and thought to herself, this must be God. And it was. It's conversion. So you see, what God does is, he does a miracle within. He quickens that human spirit and makes it alive to God, gives us that new self. And then, of course, he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell in the area where the human spirit is. But the Spirit of God comes to indwell believers, therefore, having been changed from the inside out, we then also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within us. That's the first step in changing behavior. You receive a new self. But there's a second step, and that is, you now have to put on a new wardrobe. Paul here uses the imagery, beginning at verse 25, of laying aside, just like you might cast aside an old garment. Paul is saying that it's time for you now to live up to the new self that God has created within you, and you can do that by casting aside your old habits and you put on some new ones. Because if you've been changed in the inside, you now can see that behavior work itself out in terms of experience, in terms of changed habits. And so he says, live up to who you now are. You're a child of God, begin to live like one. You've been taken out of prison, shed those prison clothes and get on with the business of putting on some new clothes, clothes of freedom. Now with your Bibles open, let's very quickly look at five habits that Paul says we should get rid of, and these clothes should be cast aside and you ought to put on some new clothes as a believer. Notice what they are. Number one, lying. Verse 25, therefore laying aside falsehood. Falsehood is the way of the world. It belongs to the old life. What do? You put it aside, and instead you are clothed with what? You begin to speak truth. You see, the answer for falsehood is truth. That seems so basic, but you know that that's true. Because if you were to speak truth every time you were tempted to lie, or every time you did lie or exaggerate, you were to say to the person, excuse me, and you go back to them and confess your sin and ask them to forgive you for what you've said, you would soon begin to speak truth. And there are people today who find it so hard to speak truth because they are still bound by their old life. And you know, it's so easy for us to speak error, not just by outright lying, but by exaggeration. The Lord has sometimes had to rebuke me for that. You know, you're telling a story, and if you just add a little detail that's just an addition, but it makes such a better story. I mean, something is missing unless you add that little bit that really didn't happen. Now, notice that the motivation ought to be, he says, because we are members one of another. That's why we ought to tell the truth. You begin to lie, you hurt yourself, and when you hurt yourself, you hurt the body. There's just no way about it.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I do want to remind you that the Bible says in the book of Revelation that all liars have their place in the lake of fire. I'm so thankful for the many of you who listen to this broadcast, and even as we have begun this new series of messages, would you get on the phone and invite your friends to listen or send them a text? Let them know that we are dealing with some issues here that are very practical when it comes to our behavior. It is so important for us to recognize that God has given us the tools, the resources, and of course, in Jesus Christ, the victory to break cycles of sin. Thank you so much for your prayers. Once again, I hope that you'll invite your friends to join us for this series.
Lying, one of those stubborn habits we can say no to in the power of God. Pastor Erwin Lutzer has brought part one of Breaking Stubborn Habits, the first of four messages on how to say no to a stubborn habit, a series designed to set you free from that which binds you. How to Break a Stubborn Habit can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.